Welcome to Divine Intervention from Dark to Light. I'm your host, Karen Young, and I'm also a spiritual teacher. The purpose of my show is to gather experiences and give voice to the untold stories of the divine and how the divine intervened in your life and made a difference. I have questions. Have you ever experienced a dream of wonder and warning? Divine healing? Felt intuition? Voice of a higher power, been touched by an angel, a near-death experience, or had a vision that resulted into a divine intervention? If so, I would love to hear from you at 1-888-627-6008. Again, 1-888-627-6008. And I also want to say that this is a non-judgmental show. This is a healing space to tell your stories and can possibly heal yourself and others. And that I also want to say that there is a higher calling on your life. Everybody has a higher calling that's living on their life. The topic of my show is near-death experience, and it's sometimes called NDE. If some of you are familiar with it, some of you are not. That's a near-death experience. If you heard of that or you don't want or interested in it, it never happened to me, but I've always been interested in people having these experiences. If you know, if a person dies or something like that, and they, you know, have been revived or died or something, they've been revived and came back to life and stuff like that. I've read stories and saw videos on this subject, and I'm just interested. I'm interested in that. Why? Because I'm a godly person. I know that it's something beyond this physical, and I'm interested in it. To me, it's proof that there's something on the other side. And people, you know, if they die, we tonight say it's near-death experience. But if you really actually die or pass away, you don't have a story or report to come back. My mom passed away in 2001. She has yet to come back to tell me, you know, or give me a report on what it's like to be dead or what's going on over there. But if you get a near-death experience or somebody telling you that they died for a few minutes, 10 minutes or whatever, some of them as long as probably a half hour, come back and the doctor resuscitate them or whatever, they can come back and tell you, you know, their experiences. And I believe them. I believe their experiences because I know that we still are in touch with our loved ones, and that God is in that space, and as well as this space, that it's really not really different. It's just a thin veil between us and the so-called dead. They're really not dead. It's just in a different, they transform and transition in another realm, a higher realm. And so I'm excited about that. I'm joyful about knowing that I've always been very interested in these type of stories, even though it never happened to me, and it doesn't have to happen to me for me to be excited about it happening to someone else. I used the word curious because I'm a curious student. I'm always learning. I'm always looking at the internet or reading on something that's curious to me. We all attracted to whatever we're attracted to. And so if you read my bio, if you read anything, it's in there too, near-death experience. So it's not just something I'm coming up with. It's something that I've been interested in for a while. And so I just wanted to share some of the stories that I, you know, read or saw on the videos and stuff like that on YouTube that, you know, kind of got my attention to let, I think God is always, and I'm not going to say I think, I know God is always speaking to us, and that's my thing. God is always speaking to us and through us and in many ways as we can if we're willing to be open and to listen. And just, guys, have an open mind for it. You may not have to agree with all the stories. I don't necessarily agree with, I mean, I'm just going to say I have to resonate. It has to resonate with me on some of the stories that I, you know, see through. All of them is valid because it happened to it. And it's as many as different experience to the people that this happens to. They don't have the same experience, the near-death experience. People that this happened to don't have the same, but they have similar experiences. And that's, you know, that kind of catch me too. But they don't have the same exact experience, because guess what, God, it's not, we're all not alike, and all our experience, even in the near death, is not going to be identical. That's what tell you everything is unique to that soul, that spirit. Everything is unique, the fingerprints, the spirit, whatever. So I'm going to get down to the story I want to share that I saw on the internet that kind of got me about this young man. He was, I think he was at the time this happened, he might have been 17, but he's a gay young man. He found, you know, he always known himself to be gay, whatever. And but he never accepted himself, but you know, he didn't feel like his family would accept him. I mean, he just felt rejected being this way. But again, you know, him being a young boy, he known this at 14, so he decides to tell his mother. He said he couldn't take it no more. He told his mother he was gay, and that even though his mom says she understood, he could see the tears in his mom's eyes. And a lot of times, you know, your mom do love you, but she know that it's a struggle being gay, because people don't understand you. They pick at you, and you know, she figure, your parents figure you're going to have a rough life, a hard life. So it's not that she didn't love this young man, but when he seen the tears in her eyes, he picked it up as a kind of rejected, because, you know, he's saying, my mom crying because she really don't love me, you know. But I don't know if that was the case. You know, it's just that she know that the challenges of being this way. But God loves us all. And I'm going to say it just like that. God loves us all. We're all his children, whether we pick girl, boy, whatever. Now, whatever our preference is, as long as we're not hurting anyone. But we're not going to get all into that. But he, this young man was feeling rejected just within himself. And that's why I wanted to say it. And he began his relationship with another young man, I guess. And I think he said the relationship lasts about 6 months, because when you young, your relationships sometimes don't last that long. They all of them seem so important. And when you young, everything seems so important. Everything is so vital in those young, precious years. You just feel like, you know, my life is, you know, you feel that way anyway. But if you happen to be gay, it's even more enhanced. So he said he was dating this other young man for a little while, and the young man broke up with him, and this guy, whoever this boy was that he was dating, was belittling him and saying bad things to him, saying, you know, not so good things to him and about him, and it broke his heart, and he was very depressed, and you know, he's already depressed anyway, and he's already fragile, so he just wanted to commit suicide. And he just felt like nobody would care for him. You know, God don't love him. You know, my mom, you know, don't understand me, people don't understand me. Now here it is, I broke up and this guy don't love me. And you know, just the whole stress and the pressure of this, this young man wanted to end his life and tried to end his life. He said he went into the room and he just said he didn't care anymore. Nobody cared for him. He just felt like he just needed to die. And this is very sad to my heart. Any young man or any person, period, wants to commit suicide. It's very serious, and it's very important that they know that they're loved, and God knows this. Anyway, he said he didn't want to, you know, shoot himself. He didn't want to die that way. He was thinking of different ways. He just said the best way for him to do is get his anti-depression pills or whatever it was that he had. And he said he took a bottle of those, and then he said he took, then when he got through with that, he said he took another bottle of pills, and he was going into that tranquil state. And he said he got his, you know, blanket, and, you know, just decided that he was going to die. And he said his spirit come out of his body, And he was in a different realm. He said he was in a different realm. He said he felt different. He didn't feel no pain. He didn't feel no anxiety. He said he actually felt good, that he was just in this different realm. And he wasn't in hell, you know, but he was in a different realm because he had taken them pills. And he had essentially passed away at that moment. And that he had could see himself in a different light. God had showed him in a different light. God showed him perfect. He said he was his face was cleared up, his hair, everything was perfect. He said he was wearing white. He was in a different body. He looked great. And God sent his grandmother to him that passed away prior to this. Now, God would send different spirits that you know that love you. He would send them to talk to you so you can hear them, knowing that you are, you know, the loved one is on the other side, will come to you, because it's all God and we're all working with God. And so he said the grandmother was talking to him. He could just hear her, you know, talking to him and stuff like that. And I don't know how long this lasts, but I know that he was, you know, somebody found him, took him to the hospital and had him there and, you know, was working on saving his life and pumping him or whatever. But he was still in that state. Okay. And so that he was there and he knew that he was perfect as God made him. God made us all perfect. And God wants us to know that in this life and in the afterlife. But you know it in the afterlife, but you don't know it in this life, because this is a dense life and everything. So and it's judgmental and it's all these things in this life. So you don't know you love like that. But he went up there and found love with God and the grandmother. And the grandmother told him, you know, you have to go back. This is not your time. You'll hear that too in these near-death experiences. Sometimes they say you have to go back. It's not your time. Or, you know, or somebody would ask to come back or don't want to come back. But in his case, the grandmother told him it wasn't his time. He had purpose and he hasn't yet finished his purpose. So she sent him back. But to make the story, you know, get to the point that God let him know that love, God showed him that love and the grandmother and all the love that surrounded him. And it was this light that surrounded him as well. A lot of times the people that do the near-death experience, they have embodied this light they talk about. And he said he was embodying this light that was so comforting and love, and he felt like it was God and this light was with him. So he went back and got, they saved him and got in his body back again, and he was a different person. And this is another thing I'm making point. When you go, it appears when they come back, they have a message, or they in a different frame of mind altogether. They're a different person because they know the truth about who they are. It wasn't about this young man choosing what or that. It's who he is in truth. It's who he is in truth. It's who he is to God. Okay? And nothing else, and to nobody. And then you don't understand it, whatever, but it's who we all are to God. So this young man got back together. When he came back, he said his family maybe still don't understand, but they did accept him. He's living a wonderful life now. He's doing all right, but he just had to, you know, tell his experience, and you know, he's an example to anybody else that either gay or not, that want to commit suicide. That, you know, God is love. God loves you now, as he did if you pass or before you came, because we're beings that we are never dying. We live forever, so we exist forever. But in this realm, this is the dense realm, and you don't know that, or you forget that. You forget who you are in this realm because there's so much going on down here in this lower vibration. So I wanted to say that. I'm going to read a couple stories that, you know, tells me that God is real. And to me, this is proof. I really, you know, knew, I know it's proof anyway, but I'm just saying this is more of God's proof. It's more of when I read these stories and when I see these stories and videos, it connects me more with my spirit. It connects me more with myself. It has nothing to do with this gloom and gloom about, am I looking into death and do I want to die? And it's so beautiful. I should shorten my life and die. No, it's the reason why we're here. So, I mean, just know our purpose, why we're here, and rejoice in that. Rejoice in who we are and share our gifts and be who we are. It's not about, cutting life short and going to, that's not what it's about. And even though it's, the stories are beautiful, but it's a message, reason why God given them the story so they could not, stay, in that realm, death realm or whatever, and come back. He wants you to know that you can live life in this realm as well as in the other realm. So, that was that story, and that was a good story, and it touched me because the young man, wanted to kill himself because he didn't know he was loved. And a lot of this go on. And I have another story where some of them are longer and some of them are short, but I do have stories today about the near-death experience. It was another one that was on there where this elderly man, he said he got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and he was going to use the bathroom, but he wasn't feeling well. And then he said he just fell, hit his head, and he hit the bathroom floor. And he said he was just down in the fetal position, but he said his spirit just came out of his body, and he was looking at himself on the bathroom floor, staring at himself. And he said, "Well, if that's me and I'm me." And he said, and I had hands, everything. He said, I was thinking, I was still had my thoughts, but I was a spirit. He said, now how does this work? If I'm me, I'm the me who I say I am, who is this guy that's laying that looked like me on, down here on the bathroom floor? And he said, I could look in the rooms in the house. He said, I, saw my wife. She was in the other room. He said she woke up and came there and was shaking him. He said his son came in to find out what was going on. He said he could see all this because he had died at that moment. At that particular moment, he had died, but he was saying, I was looking at my hands, I was looking at my feet, I was looking at myself, I was still me. I was just in, looking down upon myself. And he said the wife came in and shook him. And it was like, wake up, because they thought he was asleep. The son came in and shook him and was saying, wake up and stuff like that, and was trying to get him up. And he said that he was still floating in his own house. He could see everything spiritually, because when you're a spirit, you can see it all. And he said he could, he said, I was trying to tell them they couldn't see me that I was dead. He said, I wanted to tell them I died. No need to you waking me up. But then he said he felt this light that came upon him that was in the room, and it was like, that light that they talk about, because all of them, usually not all but most of them that I've read, they talk about light. But he said the light was in the room and was communicating with him through the light. He heard a voice, and this voice gave him a choice. He said the voice said, do you want to go back with your wife or do you want to stay? All of them don't say the same thing. That's why I said it's unique to the individual, the spirit that's going on. Everything is not going to be the same. God work mysteriously and with all his spirits and all of us in different and unique ways. And so he gave this particular spirit, human spirit, a choice. And he said, I could see my wife needing me and my son needing me and wanting to wake me up and be there with me. I didn't feel like my purpose was gone or my mission was up. I felt like it was a purpose, but I did have a choice. He said, in that moment, he said this was minutes, because when you go in the spiritual realm, it's not the same. Time doesn't exist. But there and here, it does. But when in spiritual world, time doesn't exist. So it could have been 2 minutes, 2 seconds, whatever. But he said that the voice said, do you want to stay or do you want to go back? And he said at that moment, he said, I didn't feel like my mission was accomplished. He said some kind of way I felt like I needed to go back. He said the minute I decided to go back, he said he was back in his body and was coughing, and the wife was like, "I'm glad you came." He said, she said, "I thought you was dead." And he said, she said, "For a minute, I thought you was dead because you didn't have a pulse." And he said, "Really?" He said, "I told her I had the most beautiful experience and I was dead. When you didn't feel my pulse, I was dead." And he said, and he told her the story, what happened, that it was beautiful where he was at. The white, you know, the light was really warm. God was talking to him. He was in such a wonderful place. Everything looked different. Everything was different. And he described the colors and all that. And that God was speaking to him and talking to him, and that he gave him a choice, and that he had came back. That was one of the stories, and that he was fine. I mean, he had broke his tooth, or he broke some other stuff, but he was okay. He wasn't in the place where he was in an emergency or anything like that, but he was okay. But that was just his experience. And this other experience, or person that experience near-death experience story. It's quite a few of them. So I'm gonna go through them because I know I learn each time. I know I could feel that there's something much greater than what we think we are down here. We think we just everything is solid, everything is this, everything is that. Yes, it is solid, but it is and it's not. There is something much deeper, greater going on here than meets the eye, than just going to work or whatever it is that we do. I mean, that's fine what we do, but it's a much greater scheme of things. God has a bigger plan. And bigger is not the word. You know, language is not, you know, equipped for what God has for us to do and down here. And reason why I get so into these stories is because I know that it's a spiritual aspect of it that I get into and that I connect to because it connects to my spirit. It enhance and expand my spirit. So I get into these stories, not because I'm fascinated with death. I'm just fascinated with the fact that it happened in the way it does. And it brings me the gifts and the messages back. And a lot of time it's love and how to treat each other change. But anyway, this other young lady, I forget her name. But I'm just going to say her name. But I'm just going to tell her story. She said that she was born with tics. You know, she had problems, mental kind of problems, and she said she was kind of rambunctious, feeling rambunctious inside always, and she was just too much energy. She couldn't settle herself, and her family just known her as to be bouncy and just kind of, you know, a little bit kooky. That's the way her sister, because she was her and her sister on the video. She said, "My sister was a little bit kooky, and she's always been this way, and she just always was kind of unsettled." You know, you how you have those people, and they call them tics, and they kind of snap, and they do this and do that. So she was kind of that unsettled child, and so she said that I don't know what type of house they live in, but she said the father, it was raining real, real bad and stuff, and it was going to be a storm that was really, really bad that was happening. And I don't know if it's the antennas on the house. I don't know what it was, what the father was telling you all need to go out. I don't know if he had some type of radio station or something. I don't know what he had, but they were supposed to do something with the antennas. I don't know. They called it a crank. I don't know because I'm not familiar. But she was supposed to turn the crank down or whatever. But she said it was just storming, raining, you know, really bad. The lightning was out, but you know, they decided to do what they dad said do. And to turn the crane and turn the whatever antennas, whatever they had to do. But anyway, it was really raining and kind of is dangerous, and it was lightning coming down. And the sister held on to the crank or whatever it was that she was doing, and she had to turn it, but it was on the metal and her skin or whatever, and the lightning struck that and struck her. And she was being electrocuted in sort of way, you know. And the sister saw it, and she said, she called her boyfriend. She said, "You need to go over there and help her." So she said, she told her sister, "Could you just take your hand off the crane," or whatever it was she was trying to do. And she was like, "Well, I can't take my hand off the crane," or whatever it was. She couldn't take it off. And she could just, she said, "I can just see her with electricity, you know, going through." And so she told the boyfriend, "You need to go over there and help her." She said, "Because I felt that I couldn't help her. I felt like it was nothing I could do. I just panicked. And she said the boyfriend took her and wrapped himself around the bottom of her body. And he was also was feeling the lightning or whatever through. She said both of them was feeling it. And she said that he took all his might and pulled her, the sister, down from it. But the sister had been bleeding from her nose and everything. She said the sister had to go to the hospital and all this stuff. She thought the sister would, they said the sister would not be able to talk or walk or whatever. They had, a bad prognosis for her because of all that had happened to her. And they said that she wasn't going to be able to do all these things, that she was being checked out. Her boyfriend was okay, but he was kind of messed up too, but he was okay. But she had most of the electricity or whatever that was going through them, that when they got the lightning or whatever happened to them. But anyway, the thing is, I want y'all to know about this story is that when that happened to the young lady, she was out of the body experience, that she saw God and she had contact with God and everything was beautiful. She could hear his voice. And that she was told, she was told that she was unloved or whatever. It wasn't true. That all things was beautiful, like in this realm, and that the voice was telling her that, she need to tell everybody the message that God is love and that she's loved and everybody was loved, and that, everything was going to be okay. But the voice told her that she had to come back too. She had to come back to the existence. To this life, but she was gone for a while too, in the spiritual realm. And when she came back, she healed. They thought that she wasn't gonna heal, but she healed. Matter of fact, she was better than than she was before. They checked her brains, everything. She didn't have the seizures anymore. She didn't have the energy that she had before that was running through her. Her sister said she was a totally different person, a different person when she came back. From her experience. So these are all good things, all good stories when they come back from the other side. There's nothing bad. They all have good messages. She saw the light as well that enveloped her in love and in peace. She saw that too. So all this is telling you that every time you, not saying you have to die to get it. You don't have to die. You just have to be open and paying attention to your life. You don't have to die to have this in it. But I'm saying that this is proof that God is here. He's, everywhere. I mean, it's the thing is, I'm trying to say there's really no death in this. And I guess too, I'm a little sensitive, guys, because I just lost my sister, and I might be kind of into this too, more than I have been too, because I lost a sister on the 11th of December. So that's part of it too. My mom's birthday, she passed away, was January the 10th. So I've got a lot of emotions going on too, but that I know that she's in a wonderful place because she was sick and ill and stuff like that. Now, she didn't have a near-death experience. She passed on, but me having this give me comfort in knowing that yes, she's in her transition, but she's also in enveloped in God, in light, in love, and that she's okay, that she's no longer sick because she was very sick and things weren't working right for her in the physical. And that when she passed on, that she is lighter and with God. And with peace and joy and happiness, and she has a new body, and everything is going on fine with her. And she's with my mom and relatives. So I might be a little bit sensitive on that, but still, these stories give me a certain sense of peace about my relatives and loved ones that's dying. And if it can give you some peace to know that if you got somebody that's passing away right now, or, in the hospital or in hospice or whatever, because my sister was in hospice, and that they are going to be all right once they pass, that the body, all that, they don't feel no pain on the other side. They don't feel no anxiety. They don't have all, they don't carry all this, what we carry on the other side. If that can help anybody, I hope it does. And as I continue to read more of my stories, I would like to share. It's just me sharing a few stories with you to just to share, you know, see how I felt when I was reading them, how it comforted me to know that the loved ones are doing okay on the other side, and that when we pass away, when it's our time, that we too will be back. You know, this is a temporary journey, and that we will be back in the hands of God, and that everything that we do here, we don't have to pass away to know the goodness of God, that we can share our love, share our peace, share our, you know, our gifts right here. That we don't have to have a near-death experience, but we just can be ourselves. We can just be true to who we really are. And that's really what it's about, being true to who we are and true to ourselves as well as others. So I just kind of want to share that. It was another story about a woman. She said she had just had her baby, and she said she was just in labor for 24 hours. She said it was just like she was never having this baby. She said that she was in and out of, you know, the hospital with having this child. And at 24 hours, they were saying they was going to give her a C-section and everything. And she said she just, when they gave her whatever it was, she just said she had come out of her body. Because I guess she was just so much in pain or whatever had happened to her, she had kind of passed away for a moment. And she said she could see herself on the ceiling watching them do what they doing. They were trying to bring her back to life. They were trying to put the two pedals on her. She said she could see everything. She said she could see everything from the ceiling. She said, I saw the light. She said, I could rise myself up further and further. She said she could see the doctors, what they were saying. She said, one of them was saying, you know, we got to get, you know, this pedal. We got to get that one. She said they was talking to each other. And she could see it. She said she could see them opening up her heart, opening up her chest, everything. She said she couldn't really kind of relate to the body. Like, she's like, yeah, that's me, but I'm here. She's saying it was not emotional. You know, she wasn't feeling emotion about the woman that she was seeing. She said she was just feeling like, that's my body, that's me. And she could see that they was helping her, but she was experiencing herself in a larger, more expansive self. You know, she could see herself, and she could also see this light. They're always talking about seeing this light, but she says she could see this light. She could see more of the universe, more. She says she kept going up further and further. She could see the stars. She could see the sky. This woman was experiencing everything. She says she was actually enjoying herself in doing this, because she was now a spirit. She wasn't that body, but she said she could see them working on her, trying to get her together and stuff like that. But she had had a small child, and she really didn't want, it kind of didn't go to her mind, but she was like, oh, Lord, I just want to stay. Like, she almost forgot that she had the small baby, but because she was in spirit then, and she wanted to stay. But the voice told her, you know, you've got to go back. And she said, I don't want to go back. But then God remembered, made her see that this is a small baby down here. Now, everybody on different cases, but, you know, in her case, you know, God sent her back in her body. But what she was experiencing was a lot of love, God's love, the love of the universe, everything while she was out her body. But she could see the doctors doing what they were doing in her body. I guess they were trying to help her. But anyway, it was something going on with her heart. They were putting things on her, stuff like that. But anyway, when she got back into her body, she told the doctors, she said, listen, I don't know. Could you tell me what happened? She said, "Could you tell me what just happened?" And they was like, "Well, you just, in other words, you was we was trying to help you. You was trying to pass away." And all. She said, "I can tell you exactly what happened." She said she went and told them that what they said and what they did. She said that one of the doctors didn't really want to hear. She said, "You told this doctor to go and get this instrument." She said she just described everything that they were doing. She said, "You did this, you did that. I saw you guys doing this." And she said one of the doctors left. He said, "I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear it." He got upset because I guess he didn't want to be spied on or whatever. I don't know. He just didn't believe it. It was just too much for him. So he left. But she said the other two doctors was asking her, "What? Tell us more. What happened with you?" She said, "Well, I got out of my body. My spirit was out of my body." She said, "I could see everything. I can see what you got." He said, "Tell us more of what you saw." And so they were kind of interested in what, what she saw and heard. And she began to tell them, "You told this particular doctor, you told, here's the anesthesiologist, this and that." She told them all, and it was all true. She said, "One of y'all hit me, you draw back and hit me with your fist. And it didn't work the first time. It's called something when they do that." And then she said it didn't ha it didn't revive her. And then she said, "When you hit me again in the heart with your fist, that's when I had a reaction in my body. That's when I came to." But she said, "I remember everything that happened in this." And you hear a lot of these near-death experience stories where they tell you exactly what happened, and that's God telling you, that's giving you proof too. And either you want to hear it or you don't. I mean, it should be interesting to you, interested to you should be interested in what that person is saying if it was true. Now, if it was a lie and that didn't occur, and then you say, okay, then you're hallucinating with the medicine. But if it's true and that person flatlined and didn't have a pulse, that's your proof. That person flatlined. She saw the it. She saw the flat, herself flatlined. She saw it going all the way through, and she told him how in this box. She said, "I flatlined." She told the doctor what, everything. So, it's proof. The spirit outside the body knows everything, and that's only God. You're with God. And you know all things. You're in more than one places at one time. So this is proof of this happening. So I'm going on with my stories, but if you all had a near-death experience and you want to call about it, I'm rambling on, but if you any of you guys had a near-death experience or know of someone who had a near-death experience and you want to speak about it, I don't need to hog everything on the radio. If you would like to share your near-death experience or someone else near-death experience that you can call at 1-888-627-6008. Again, 1-888-627-6008. And I'll listen to your near. I'm excited about that. But anyway, this woman, she was able to hear and see everything through spirit. And she remembered it and told them. And she said they didn't want to do any deal with her after that. She said when she was in recovery room and stuff like that, they never wanted to talk about it. They didn't put it in her records that happened. She said every time she bring up the subject, they're like, "No, what such? What happened? What do you mean? We don't know what happened with that." So they told them not to say anything about that, I guess because they didn't want to be documented. Not that they were doing anything wrong. I mean, they were just trying to save a life, and they saved it. But I guess that they felt like they were spied on or whatever. Whatever that was that they didn't want to transpire, the woman said they didn't want to talk about it. And that was her story. And I thought that that was interesting. It was a whole lot of stories that I read and saw on the videos. Some I didn't necessarily resonate with. Some I did resonate with. It's just a lot of them and a lot of things. There was one about this 15-year-old boy had a cardiac arrest. He said that he had it in school, and that he was it was a regular day to him. He said he was dealing with cars. He was young. He said he was 15. He had a nice car. He might have been 16 because he was able to drive. He wanted to have the latest car, whatever. He had fixed the car and drove it to school or whatever. He was in school like the other kids. He said it was like a regular day. He said, I came to class and I sat down. He said, and everything. And he said he began to get very, very tired and stuff like that. He said he didn't know why he was tired. He said, maybe I didn't sleep well. He said, I didn't know why I was getting so tired. So he said, I just laid my head down on the desk. He said, all I knew is I fell out at the school. And he said, when he fell out, he had a cardiac arrest. And he said he had come out of his body, his spirit was out of his body, and he said that he was in a different realm. He said he could feel the warmth of this light. I don't know, I know God is light, so but he was another one with the light and stuff and the warmth of the light and feeling the presence of God and feeling the love of God in this realm. And never these people never want to come back because this is home. And all of them say it feels like home. It feels familiar. And he said that it felt familiar to him. And he was gone now. I think he was out for maybe, I don't know how long, 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. I don't know. But he was, according to them, the ambulance came. The paramedics were saying that they couldn't revive him for a while. So he was out. But while they was checking on him, he had already immersed in, spirit. And he said that he felt so loved, so personal with God and Jesus, and that this realm again. Here's another grandmother, because grandmothers love. I know mothers love the kid, but his grandmom had passed over. That's how he could recognize her. He could recognize his grandmother. And they had these grandmother stories too, but he was saying that he recognized her and she said she was glad to see him and everything, and that she spoke with him, and but she said he can feel this presence of God there, always there, this presence of God, and he knew he was loved. He knew this was place, and this place felt familiar and everything. So he talked to his grandmother as well, and he said in the time that he spent with her, I forget her message, but she said that to go and in love, letting everybody know that God is love. And he said she didn't say much, that much, but just God is love, and to know, to give the message that God is love or something like that. But anyway, he's saying that that's what he took with him when he came back to his body, that when she passed on and went through the tunnel, wherever she, he couldn't go with her through the tunnel. That it was a voice saying that he needed to come back, and that he didn't finish his mission, that he needed to come back to his body or need to come back to this life, that it wasn't time yet, that he couldn't go with grandmama yet. And so he felt this unbelievable love and peace and joy and all that. But when he came to into his body and stuff like that, he said he was a different person. What I'm getting to, folks, that you'd be different all the time if you have this experience, but you can be different if you open up yourself and let God in anyway. But he came back. He said all that mattered at a young age, he said, didn't matter no more. He said he was a changed young man at a young age. At 15 or 16, he said all of a sudden the cars, none of that mattered. He said, I don't know what happened to me. He said things that started to matter to me didn't matter. He said that all the kid stuff, he didn't matter. It was stuff like love or being good or, helping a person mattered, being a better person. He went on and got a career and did well in life, but he always remembered that God is love through his messages. But these young people are having these out-of-body experiences as well, that's coming back different. And the point is, you come back different because God had a message to remind us who we are and what we are and how we are in this world and how we can be in this world if we stay true to ourselves. And so that's kind of what I begin to. What did you learn? What are you bringing when you come back? What have you learned? And what they're learning, I'm learning. And you say, oh, well, you know, we all knew about love. I mean, what's that? No, it's not so much that you really don't know how much you really are loved. You really don't know. I mean, it's just not pronounced down here the way it really is. So you really are loved. And a lot of people don't know it. I mean, people say, okay, that's just love and sentimental stuff. And no, it's deeper than that. It's not that Pollyanna stuff that I'm talking about. I'm talking about real love. I'm talking about divine love that love you for real. Love you no matter what. Because God know who you are. He know what you are. And he know how you serve in truth. So that kind of love. But, and it's just one more I want to say. I know I all near-death experiences, but it's another one that I wanted to say about how prayer works in this too. It's a two-way story of two sisters too, Patty and I forget what the other sister name is because this was a video I was watching. But Patty and her sister, I'd say Nancy, I forgot the other sister name, but she said, Patty says she had a dream. She had a dream. She had a dream that her sister, somebody, not even her sister, but somebody was in a pile of accident with a truck. And she said she woke up and it was really startling and disturbing. But in truth, her sister had an accident for real with a truck, and it was a bad one. So she said she began to pray. Right then and there, she said that she began to pray when she found out her sister was, you know, and I just want to tell you, prayer works, prayer works. And then even in some of these near-death experience, people heard people prayers when they came out of the body, when they be in comas or whatever, they hear the prayers. So and they feel the prayers and they feel everything. So anyway, I'm making a point. So she was praying. I just want to make sure prayer works. If you're in a position like this, if your son or whoever's, you know, in it, you know, accident or whatever, you don't think prayer works or whatever. And you know prayer works. We all, you know, you're a divine listener, so you know prayer works. But I'm just saying, I always like these prayers because I'm always in prayer. So she was praying for her sister. She asked God, and you can. She said, how do you want me to pray for my sister? Because you don't know God's will sometimes. You don't know what God's will is, so it's good to ask God all kind of questions. So she said, I thought it was interesting because when I get emotional, I just pray, Lord, just please let my sister live or whatever. No, she taught me something. And she said, I asked God to how should I pray? And she waited for the answer. And she said, God said, and two of them, she heard that God said, pray for your sister to live. So she says she began. She got that cue, and she said she was already a Christian. She already was praying anyway, but she's praying for God. Lord, let my sister live. Let her live in peace. Let her have everything, her body parts, all this. Let her live. Let her live. Let my sister live. In the meantime, my sister was in the hospital, had had the bad accident. It didn't look good, but the sister spirit come out of her body. Now, this sister said that she was in church, she was a Christian, whatever, she knew God, but she never felt worthy of God, okay? She never felt worthy of God. So she said, I knew God loved me, but I'm not really, you know, you be saying that this love of God, this so grand God, I mean, am I worthy of it? Yes, you are, because he created you, but she didn't feel like it. She said she just didn't really feel worthy of it. So when she got out of spirit, out of her body, her spirit transformed, and she said she felt the God's love. And she said God began to speak to her and said that she was always loved, that she was his daughter, he was in, and that he loved her always, that she was always loved, and that she had a purpose. That you know she need to go back and do her purpose that she came to do, to love each other, love one another, and gave her the goddess love, that purpose. I mean, that message that God do love you. He said, I'm bringing you back to tell you the message that God do love everybody. And And it was probably some more details in it. It's all I can remember now, but I do know that he told her that he loved her and that she felt the light too. She felt the love. She felt all that she needed to go back to her body and spirit, knowing that she was loved by God. Now, it wasn't by accident that this happened. She had an accident. So to let God know that she was loved. It was God's plan, is what I'm saying, to let her know that she was loved. And this is what happened in her experience. And so when she came back, she was a different person. She knew that God loved her. And when she came back, she was able to heal because she was in such a bad accident. They was telling her, the doctors was telling her that she wasn't going to be able to walk and do all these things because she was in a pileup accident with the truck, and that she wasn't going to be able to do this and that and the others like the rest of them. But she was able to heal completely. And the two sisters got together, and it was so nice to see them on the video that, you know, that they knew that prayer worked. They knew that God worked. Now this sister know that she was worthy of God's love, which we all are, but we just always don't believe we're worthy. But that's another thing, that God always have messages trickling down to us, telling us we are worthy, and we better believe that we are, and we better act as such, worthiness. So it was a lot of, you know, videos and stuff that I watched that comforted me, that gave me love, gave me joy, and gave me peace of mind. And so I just believe that we come here and we visit this plane temporarily. That's the way I see it. I see that it's evolution of us coming from our spirit, coming down in physical, but we really serve God. And we come on this plane to learn how to be humans. I mean, yeah, because we're spiritual beings, but we being human, we're humans with spiritual beings with a human experience, is what I'm trying to say. Got to say it right. We're spiritual beings, but we're having a human experience. And our human experience is like everything there is, we know we love there, but we put here for to put the test for evolution so we can live down here and know that we're loved too. But we got to remember that. We forget who we are when we're down here. And so we're choosing to be limited and in pain for the purpose of evolution. And to know ourselves in truth down here, to know who we really are as beings, we need to evolve and have that same heavenly, we can have heaven on earth, that heavenly vibration that we know we are, but we need to remember it. We need to remember the truth of who we really are. And it's God's plan, you know, to have us this way. It's God plans to have us in this dense place to sharpen our skills, to know who we are in this dense area. I mean, it's challenging. And any spirits that's down here is worthy, because you know what? They come down here, you warriors, when you come down here, because you know you're in a dense area. You're not in that heavenly Father realm. So when you come down here, you are warriors within yourself just to be down here. It's a blessing to be down here, because if you can get down here and live down here and survive down here and know yourself as God, you are evolved being. You're doing this, you evolved God being. So anybody that's down here in the trenches and all, this is a beautiful thing. We're learning down here. We're evolving down. This is evolution in the spirit. This is how we learn. This is how we expand. This is what it's about. God wants us pure expansion. And that's why we're down here. We're called to the light. When it gets too dark and we forget who we are, God will call us to the light. He'll call us out and get, you know, near-death experience or something would happen with a loved one to get our attention, to know, just to track back to who we really are. And so we're down here to sharpen our skills. If we say we're loved, then prove it. You loved and love your brother. God wants us to, you know, be tested. We have to really understand that we're just being tested. When we go back home, it's to, you know, we go back home to glory. But we're down here testing. If we're saying we're loved, then okay. You're going to love this person even though they're not treating you well, or you in a way where you understand that God is really the true love. and you can give it down here on earth. You know what I'm saying? So these near-death experiences help me know more of who I am, know my spirit, know exactly where I'm coming from in Christ. So I just love, you know, sharing those stories. I love being who I am in truth and sharing the truth of others. So this does it for now. My next show is January 27, 2019, 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time. We are going to continue our divine discussions. In the meantime, you can contact me at divfromdarktolight@gmail.com. I am looking forward to hearing from you. Good night and God bless. And you all have a good week. And be kind to each other. Good night.